closing main breaker.
And you know what that means, girls.
It's time for the Jingle.
Woo-hoo!
All right.
Hey, Jimmy.
Jimmy's here. Jimmy's here. All right, this is good.
He's back.
All right. All right, this is great. I got that mojo. I love this, man, I'll tell you.
How you doing, Jimmy?
I'm doing fabulous. I mean, this is... I'm doing just great. There's so much neat stuff going on. I mean, just the coolest stuff in the world. Counselor Curtis is with us.
Hey, how you doing, y'all?
You may want to... I don't know if you're going to weigh in on the Supreme Court.
I'm going to weigh all over the place.
Okay, good. And Engineer Eric, the Mixmaster.
Mixmeister.
And I understand that Jack Rhodes may call in.
He may.
Okay, well, we'll wait for
waiting
him to call in.
Jack Rhodes.
So it's not the Jack Rhodes show today.
Not today.
Not yet. No.
And in case anybody's interested.
Yeah, wait till he calls.
Yeah, wait till he calls. That
take
is the
over
Jack
the
Rhodes show. Yeah, he gets his own email, doesn't he? I think he does. Anyway, today's the 17th of June. Mm-hmm. We're 4 days away from the longest day of the year and 4 days away from the beginning of summer.
It's getting hot here in Florida.
It's getting hot here in Florida. That's right. We're in the 90s now. Although we got plenty of rain.
Yeah.
They got nothing like they do up in Iowa.
No.
Oh, brother. You know, and it's...
Gay man's floating around on his sofa.
Boy, well, we got some pictures from him, you know.
Yeah,
from,
yeah.
And he said his house wasn't underwater.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Apparently he can walk down the street and see lots of water. I thought it was fascinating. They are... I want to ask you this question. You see this on the news that there are something like 17 levees mm-hmm. that are in danger of bursting. And what comes through your mind?
Katrina.
Well, no, not that. But, I mean, just think about it for a second.
New Orleans.
No? Anything else?
Sandbags.
Well, they're sandbagged to death. I mean, mm-hmm. they showed the sandbags and everything. But the
Army Corps of Engineers.
There's a couple of...
Am I getting warm?
No, not even close.
Okay.
Don't you have a little secret thought that you hope they bust?
Well, that's
wouldn't
like
you
Dane
just
Cook
like
says,
to see
you know,
them all bust?
It's like,
isn't there just some lurking in the back of your mind? I would like to see them bust. I mean, we're down here in Florida. This is Jimmy, but for some reason you're thinking, well, they're gonna go, man. That'd be something else, you know, to see what. Now, there's a couple things that are, of course, very germane to all of this. Number one, it did turn out that as we talked about this, I think at the original Jimmy Doan show some 10 years ago about how the Army Corps of Engineers had shored up the levees in the upper Mississippi.
Shored them right up, man.
And made it so that downstream, because the water couldn't flood out of the floodplains, it built up, and that's when St. Louis flooded years ago.
Oops.
Oops. And well, of course, same thing is happening today in that if you don't let it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. If you don't let the river go where it wants to go, it's going to go someplace where you don't want it to go. And so it was interesting to watch. They've got all these levees that may bust now. And, of course, it's interesting. They had the 100-year flood 15 years ago. And now I guess this is a 500-year flood that is right on its tail. this one's even higher than the flood of 93.
Because all that ice is melting, man, in Antarctica.
In Antarctica, right. Right. So anyway, it turns out that 20% of the Iowa corn crop, and thank you so much for ethanol people, because now not only are they doing the ethanol thing to cause the food prices to go up, but now the crop is going to go down the toilet. So be prepared for, you know, $10 loaf bread here pretty soon, I'd say.
Did you just switch subjects, Jimmy?
No. When I'm still talking about the floods.
Okay.
And that. The simple fact is that these floods, interestingly enough, are pretty much man-made, and that they are kind of a natural occurrence anyway, whether or not you have levees. What was that song? I made it to the levee and I didn't die, or whatever was that song?
American Pie.
American Pie, that's it. Okay, yeah. So here we are, American Pie. Okay.
Who's that most popular song ever?
Oh, my God. There's people that want to kill if they hear that song. They'd go into a friend. They'd turn into Charles Manson. So anyway, but I thought it was interesting to see the difference in the response of the people. Have you noticed that there are there have been some deaths? Yes, but you haven't noticed the mayor of any of those cities standing up there and saying, where's President Bush? Where's FEMA? Where's whatever it is?
What, they haven't all declared emergency disaster areas?
None. They're almost nothing. Almost nothing. I mean,
that's weird.
Why is that? No, they are doing it themselves.
They got like matching funds and stuff.
No,
declare.
No.
Arnold
they
declared an emergency. There was like a house fire in California and Arnold declared it.
There was, yeah. Arnold was there when there's a house fire.
Yeah. This is an emergency for all the lizards in the area and the snakes.
Yeah, that's it. Well, the point is, though, that if you have not seen the moaning, wailing, screaming, rending of, tearing of off shirts and, you know, people, you do see some people.
It's because they want to get what they wish for. They
well,
bring
you know,
FEMA
what you do see, interestingly enough, and the crimes, if you want to call it that, they arrested this one guy, they tased the crap out of him because he wanted to get back into his house to save his stuff. And of course they had said, no, you can't go here, it's not safe and so forth. And so he like
watch, it's not safe.
Yeah, watch, it's not safe. Right. And you know,
see, look at that. You got tased. Right?
Yeah,
you got electrocuted trying to get into your house.
That's right.
We
don't
told
stand,
you it wasn't
don't stand
safe.
In the water. Here, hold this toaster. So anyway, the guy, you know, kind of nudged his car up against a cop. And of course it was assault with a deadly weapon, and they hauled him up.
Sure, man. Attempted murder. I was saying attempted murder like that.
It might have been, actually, but it was at the very minimum, it was assault with a deadly weapon. But they showed the picture of the cop arresting this guy, and the cop was standing there in cop stance with his hand out and his Glock cocked.
Mm-hmm.
Cocked, glocked. And no, I mean, seriously, he's ready to shoot the guy. I'm
right.
Thinking, were you really going to shoot the guy?
Yes. Let me just help you out. did you see the video that's been going around recently of the cop who stopped the burglar with his patrol car?
No.
You haven't seen that one?
No.
This guy, like, he runs like three people up onto his hood. And they ask him, they said, well, what were you doing? He's like, well, I was bumping him a little, you know. Just give him a little bump.
Well,
I mean, you know, if you do that to the police officer, it's attempted murder
right.
with a deadly weapon. To
right.
him, it was... Well, it was, you know, it was assault or something, you know. It was,
yeah.
Well, it was battery.
It reminds me, I'm going to digress just for a little bit of a second. Speaking of Glocks, I was listening to Neil Bortz this morning for just a few minutes, and he was talking about road rage. And apparently there's been some study out that says that the more bumper stickers you have on your car, from no matter where, that, you know, plus, minus, conservative, liberal, whatever, in between, who knows what, you apparently are more prone to road rage than otherwise.
You mean to be the recipient of?
No,
or
to do it.
Perpetrator. Okay.
The perpetrator of road rage. So, you know, he said, here's the warning. If you see somebody with bumper stickers all over their car, you know, steer clear. I mean, statistically, I'm thinking I've got a Jimmy Dolan sticker on my car.
Yeah.
And so, but,
watch out.
Watch out. That's right. Anyway, the...
I'm blazing off rounds
in all directions. But he gave an example of a road rage that he had done. And he said he was in a line at McDonald's, and what happened was he had gone come in through the wrong way or through the parking lot or something, so he had to kind of come into an angle into the drive-up window. And somebody was coming around in the lane, but, I mean, you know how you are.
Yeah,
You're at an angle.
We got
and you're in line and everything. And this guy apparently pulled his truck up there right to his driver's side door, and when the line finally moved, it was, you know, lunchtime or something, line was taking forever. And Neil Bortz started to move forward, and this guy apparently just went crazy. He went nuts. He said, you know, cursing Neil out, you know, because he wanted to bump in front of him or something. I don't know what the deal was. Anyway, the guy gets out of his truck. He's going crazy. He's pounding on his truck, and then he goes around to the back of his truck, and he gets out a golf club and starts heading for Neil's car. And so the guy comes.
So he's going to settle it with a game of golf?
He's going to settle it with a game of golf. And Neil said all he did is he just rolled down his window and pointed a Glock at him.
Right.
And said, come on.
Right.
And the guy went away. And I thought to myself, you know, would you have shot him?
Yeah, over a hamburger.
Over the guy coming at you with a club. You couldn't have. I mean, I'm a firm believer in, I'm a firm believer in gun control. You first.
Right.
And as Counselor pointed out here earlier, it's interesting that they want to enforce gun control with guns. they want to use guns to take away your guns, which is kind of ironic there. But
man, I'm not for gun control. You first, man. Then they'll just say, oh, yeah, man, I put mine up, man.
No. I'm talking about when I say you first, I mean the government lay down all their guns.
Well, still, I'm not laying down mine. I mean, they
Wait. Listen to me for a second. I'm lying here.
Okay. Right.
You know, once they lay theirs down, then I don't have to anymore. Guess what?
Right.
No, I mean, that's the secret.
Okay.
Shut up.
You've been saying it, Jimmy. I'm just calling. I'm just making sure.
I know, but
sure.
I mean, you're making me give away my best stuff. I mean,
okay.
This is, you know, this was something here. But I'm thinking to myself that my basic...
Yeah, now, look, in Florida, the rule is if you can get away...
With it.
No. If you can get away with it, call Counselor Curtis. Now, if you can get away from the person who is coming at you with the golf club, then you're not allowed to use force to resist them. That is to say, the judge in Florida would have held that Neil could have driven off, and
well,
therefore.
But let's assume that he couldn't have actually driven off. Let's say he was boxed in, and the guy was coming at him with the golf club.
Then you're in pretty good shape.
Let me put it this way. My basic rule, ironclad rule is this. I would never draw a gun unless I absolutely intended to use it.
Well, if you really thought the guy was coming after you with the club, like he was. He was going to club you with the club.
Well, of course, you're in your car and your windows are rolled up. I mean, how much, you know, you can't always slide out the other side of the seat or
something
like that.
Well, and that's getting away.
That's getting away, right. But I mean, what I'm saying is that it doesn't really matter if the guy's coming at you, going to beat the shit out of your car or whatever. That is not a death sentence. I don't care who you are.
No, but, I mean, look, they would have a hard time. They would charge you with that. I mean, you'd have to plead. The affirmative defense of self-defense.
What I wanted to ask Neil was, what I really wanted to ask him was, were you prepared to shoot? Uh-huh. That's what I wanted to ask. Speaking of lawyers and that sort of thing, did you see that video I sent you?
Which video?
The don't ever talk to the police.
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Oh my God, it is unbelievable. It is unbelievable.
Is it good?
Oh, it is the best.
Oh, we'll put a link to it.
You have to. Absolutely, you have to link to this.
It is the best video.
It's 26 minutes long, and it is the best video you will ever see about your get out of jail free card. And let me tell you something. It has done one thing. It has ruined, mind you, my watching of Law & Order.
It is absolutely ruined.
And why?
Because they all confess.
They all talk
to the police.
They all say something.
I know. I can't watch it either, man.
No, it is absolutely and totally. If you
85,
watch
90%. I mean, that's realistic.
I want to tell you. No. And not only that, there is, for what it's worth, there is a second video of 26 minutes that's in that same that I did send you. That's the policeman, the investigator guy who gives a quote rebuttal. His rebuttal is the guy was right. The lawyer was right. The lawyer in this video for the you people that you have to see this video. And as I say, we will absolutely. I will put a link to it.
Someday I will have the copy stopper card.
I sent it to your
iPhone. I know you did. And I'm going to watch it. But I was just going to say, in addition to that, someday I'm going to have the copper stopper card, which has all this concisely concisely put down so that you can just whip out the card. And then tape it over your mouth.
That's the key. That is absolutely the key. It has to have a sticky back because have to be able to put. Let me tell you something. What for listeners, Jimmy, don't. This will also free up a lot of your time. For those of you like myself who occasionally watch reruns of Law & Order, I don't do it anymore. I mean, literally, I have freed up 45 minutes a day on the Law & Order reruns.
Yeah,
because
if you learn nothing from Law & Order, it should be that they always get you to talk and they use it against
you. I mean, and literally, as this guy points out, I'm going to just say one thing and then we'll move on. What he says is, even if he goes through the most outrageous innocence you can imagine, here's a person who is like so totally innocent, didn't do it, is the dream client for the attorney.
Shut up.
And he goes on to show how you can be convicted.
Oh, sure.
I mean, you know, you might get thrown out on appeal or whatever it is, but basically.
I've seen it happen, man.
I tell you, I was stunned.
Look, when they say anything you say can and will be used against you.
Yeah. That's what they mean.
That's what they mean.
And I mean,
Shouldn't say even can. It should say everything
and
you say
and he makes
will
that
be
point.
Twisted around.
No, he makes that point. He says will be used against you.
Yeah.
It doesn't say. We might not.
Right.
It will be used against
right.
you.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
And the guy points out, he's a fast talker, and you have to understand that on one or two things, he does a little malaprop once or twice, but once you get past that, because he speaks so rapidly.
Uh-huh.
But it is one of the greatest videos on, Stan a little bit out of trouble in today's society where they will arrest you for anything. As, as the guy said, as the cop said, it doesn't matter who you are. If I follow you for 20 minutes, I can stop you. I will find something to stop you for.
No question about
it. No question
that,
about it. If I follow you,
they can stop you for weaving inside your own lane at this point.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
So, no safety concern, no nothing.
So that is an absolute.
Oh, and I want to tell you about, I can tell you about this too. Speaking of stopping you for no reason. If you are driving in southern United States these days and you have large cash on you, be prepared to give it up. Because what's happened is the asset forfeiture police have been ramping up their activities. And at this point, they can confiscate your money just based on the proposition that it might be being used for drug money or some kind of illegal smuggling or something.
Right.
And so, I mean, if you're anywhere near the southern United States border and you've got...
Well, especially, I mean...
Hey, that could be Jack Rhodes.
Jack Rhodes.
Jack Rhodes.
Is that Jack?
I did the call in tonight.
Hey, Jack, how are you?
I'm doing well. So, how's the show going?
It's going well. Wait, if you got, he's breaking up a little bit.
You're breaking up.
I'm breaking up. I'm giving it all she's got.
You ain't, maybe need to back off just a little bit. So how
all right, no problem. I'll just hang loose.
That's better. I think you're over-modulating or something.
That very well could be, Jimmy. That's a regular occurrence around here.
the OM.
So we started the show already, but, you know, we didn't welcome our listeners from around the globe.
Oh, that's right. Gunnar sent us.
Gunnar.
Not
Gunnar.
Oh, that's my Swedish. That is my svenska upbringing here.
We've got a smorgasbord of countries tuning in today.
Did want to say hello to Gunnar.
Yeah,
okay. because he pointed out something that was fascinating that Jimmy did not catch. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy reads the news all the time. Did you know, Gunnar says, pointed out that they are apparently using paintball guns in border enforcement.
Yeah.
As always, ahead of the curve.
No, I mean, so far ahead of the curve. No, they are, aren't they filling the paintballs with pepper spray or something?
Yeah.
Anyway, this is, I'm sitting there thinking, these guys, the Border Patrol, this is our show. Come on,
they're ripping
it.
Us off, man.
So, yeah, as he said, I should have patented it.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not ripping us off. They're learning. They're assimilating to the Jimmy Doan nation.
Well, that's
donation.
We would appreciate a donation.
Well, let me tell you, we got Ireland, Portugal, Algeria, Switzerland, France, the Netherlands, Poland, Russia, Japan, inashimasee, Australia, New Zealand, and Brazil tuning in the last couple of weeks here.
That's not even the last couple of weeks. That's the last couple of days, more
likely. And Canada.
What's interesting about that, of course, is that when you see how they found us, I went through, a lot of it is through images. And
well, that's because we got all those cool images.
Well, don't laugh. I mean, I went through just for laughs. I did a back search, you know, on some of these people. They were looking for, you know, Iranian sex queen or something like this.
So we got it.
And yeah, I mean, we're there. I mean, I'm thinking, what? When did we talk about that?
Did they find our Taliban calendar?
Well,
that might not be a search we want to be pulled up in right there.
Wait, what is it? He's breaking up bad.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are you on your cell phone?
No, I'm on a landline.
Well, what happened here? We.
I don't know.
How's that?
Yeah, that's better.
That's a little better.
Taliban calendar.
Well, no. I am in the bunker, you know, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
In the bunker.
Right.
It might be the electromagnetic proof bunker.
Yeah, that's it. That's what happened. Is even the wires are shielded and can't.
Well, let me turn down the flux capacitor just a little.
That'll help.
And I think I can get. Yeah, there we are.
Yeah,
there
you that's go. A big difference. Big difference. Okay, because you were shattering up there a little bit. Anyway, I went back through to see some of these crazy things that people are searching on. And sure enough, we're there. But what I did find interesting, sometimes we were like on about the 10th or 15th page
right.
of Google. And these people obviously have got no life. And they're going through Google images for this stuff, and they come across the Jimmy Doan show. Hello. Right.
Heck yeah, man. Well, welcome all around the world.
We did get a email from Will in Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
We got. Did he say he was flooded out or what?
Fire stick man.
Fire stick man. What do you say about the boomstick?
It was a no shoot fire stick in space canoe. In Futurama.
Oh my God, that is so funny. That is so funny.
But thank you for writing in, Will.
Yeah,
thanks
also. Let's see, it was Gunner wrote in with the question about copyright, which I answered for him too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we'll post that on the blog or something.
What on how to get around it?
Yeah, no, it was how. He had a question about some people who had been ripped off on the internet. They posted their they posted all their artwork and like some interviews with the artists. And what happened was some Chinese company downloaded the whole thing, made a book out of it and sold it
and made money.
And
why didn't we think of that?
Well, no, why didn't they think of that? Is the thing, you know, like if they had something that was good enough. They should have thought about that. And I want to point out that in a copyright-free world, you would still be able to do that. Everybody thinks, well, you wouldn't be able to sell it because it's all free. Well, here, they just did it. The Chinese just downloaded it, even though it's free on the internet, and they made a book out of it and sold it because the distribution is valuable. It's worth something, even if they just sold it for a buck a piece or a yuan a piece or something.
A yuan.
You know? You'll always get to sell the first run. And that's how they make money. That's the answer to the question. And the other answer is, of course, now they're famous, which they couldn't do on their own. Apparently, otherwise they would have. And the Chinese company made them famous, and now they can commission out their work if they want to. I mean, everybody always wants originals, and so they can hire themselves out for a higher price now that they're famous, even though they did nothing to get famous except for create the original stuff. Oh, and they can create more original stuff for people.
Boy, speaking of original stuff, I was watching Antiques Roadshow yesterday, and I saw...
Are you digressing off of my digression?
No. I'm coming right back. But there was a guy who had apparently worked with Charles Schulz in the 50s, and Charles Schulz had given him some original art that he, you know, the panels that they do.
I'm looking at this character.
Peanuts character.
Peanuts character.
It's
stuff,
a beagle,
right? Okay.
But...
That was
a rerun.
Yeah, and it was... $250,000 for these pieces of paper. Can you so talk about
250 big ones?
That's right, 250 big ones. That's right,
250 dollarinos.
And I'm telling you this: even if there was no copyright laws, you'd still be able to sell them for close to that because they're the originals.
Yeah. Oh no, no question. That's exactly right. So anyway, that's how.
Well, thank you for the emails, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Hey, listen. All right, now we got Jack Rhodes on the phone.
Can you hear me okay like
Yeah,
this?
You're good.
Yeah,
you're golden
you're better now, yeah.
Excellent.
I want to bring up the first major topic of the evening. Obama!
Obama!
It's Obama!
Oh, shit!
When last we left our heroes, it was unknown who was the presumptive nominee, and now we at least have a presumptive nominee. But Jimmy,
anybody but Obama.com.
What happened to anybody but Hillary, Jack?
It worked.
No. Actually, you think it's worked.
Jimmy's got something to say.
No. You think it's worked. Let me tell you.
Oh, Hillary's not out yet.
No. Let me tell you. Yogi had it right. It ain't over till it's over. And then with Hillary, it still ain't over.
I love Jimmy's determination to be right. I love it. Even when it's like Big Brown. Even when you come in last, and you're still in the race.
Let me tell you, the race ain't over.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. Nobody has crossed the finish line. They haven't even come around the final poll yet. They got a month to go just for the convention. Plenty of time. And then... there's 2 months after that, before the election, and then, guess what? There's still plenty of time.
Plenty of time for an assassination. I know. Who said that? Who said that was the poltergeist?
Oh.
No.
I was thinking it.
No.
We know you were.
Hillary, look.
Let me tell you,
no question about it.
After the election, unfortunately, she's pretty much out because the vice president then will be in, but until November 3rd, she's still in the running. I'm telling you, she's still in the running. I'm not I'm almost tempted to double my bet.
Double down, Jimmy.
Double down. That's right. Go for the big one.
Split him.
And we see why Jimmy doesn't frequent Las Vegas as often as he used to.
they already have all my money.
Okay, so speaking of Obama, here's the thing that I want to bring up about him that he most recently said. This I love, man.
You can't even not laugh.
No, I can't. Obama, in a major national speech, comes out and says that he's against us privatizing a portion of Social Security because wouldn't it be scary if your Social Security revenues were tied to the Dow Jones average?
And that was because, as everybody's known, the Dow Jones has dropped a little bit.
It's plummeted.
And wouldn't it be horrible? And I was thinking,
awful.
I'll take that bet.
Jimmy, would you want him to go back 35 years?
Seriously, go back 35 years when Jimmy was around 30, say. And that's, you know, if you start working today when you're 20, but let's say when you're 30 years old and when the Dow was 475.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you just invested in the Dow. Now, the Dow yielded, by the way, about 5%. So I don't have to do the math here, but the Dow is currently over almost 13,000. Mm-hmm. That's what is that? About a 25 or 26 times your original investment. Okay. That means that forget the fact that you would have put $1,000, $2,000 a year all for the last 35 years. But even just the initial $1,000 or whatever today would be worth, you know, multi thousands, A. B, it would have been paying 5% all along.
Right.
And if you die, you leave, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to your heirs. Social Security, of course, is predicated on the premise that you're not going to make it, that you're going to die. They hope you die. Social Security is a death sentence.
What, you don't get to pass that on? You don't get to sign that over?
It goes up in smoke. Now, the point is that he says, wouldn't it be horrible if your income
retirement
was tied to the Social Security? I would wish it was.
Please, Mr. Obama, tie my Social Security to the Dow Jones.
Throw me in there.
Listen to us. We're begging you here from the Jimmy Doan Show.
I mean,
Mr. Obama,
is I would literally, if I could have tied for the last 35 years, if I could have tied it to the Dow Jones, I wouldn't be on this show. I would be at Jimmy.
Well, we'd be on this show.
Caribbean Jimmy.
This show would be broadcast
through drinking a Jimmy Rita.
Jimmy Rita.
I mean, exactly. I would have hot and cold running, you know what's down there. And I mean, oh my God. I mean, please,
Mr. Obama. We're begging you.
That's all
from
we
the Jimmy
have.
Doan Show.
I mean, and I'm laughing my ass off because here's a guy who says, I mean, I don't know what you can say about this.
I can't understand that not only does he not understand, can he just not multiply what the Dow has done in the last 35 years, but apparently none of his speechwriters can multiply.
Reporters raise their hands and what I would love to see is one of his reporters do the Tom Hanks thing, you know, but I don't get it.
I don't get it. Wait a minute.
If I'd been tied to the Dow for the last 35 years, I'd be a rich man today. I wouldn't have $30,000.
$35,000 times 26.
Well, I mean, $35,000.
$900,000 plus the 5% compounded annually.
Plus the 5%. The whole nine.
It's like $2.5 million.
I mean, oh, you'd be filthy rich. I mean, you would be. And then what you would do.
And you'd have lost 5% since January, though, Jimmy.
Yeah, right. And I'm really worried about it. But
yeah,
my point
would
is
you
that you would
that?
Have, and not only that, if you were so stupid as to croak, you would leave hundreds of thousands of dollars to your kids. At the worst case condition, if you're 65 or 70 years old, with that kind of money, you buy what they call a perpetual annuity. And that pays you forever.
That
you
sounds all mystical voodoo economics. What are you talking about,
what
Jimmy?
What are you talking about, right?
Pyramidal scheme.
Yeah.
Trapezoidal method.
Yeah, you got some kind
but
of
But I mean, I'm sitting there,
conical.
I can't believe that nobody called the guy on this.
Yeah, I can't either. This is.
I mean, how long did it take when you sent me that email? How long did it take for the response?
It came back before I hit send.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
please, Mr. Obama.
Tie my Social Security to the Dow. Just tie 10% of it to the Dow, for Christ's sake.
Anything. Yeah.
Anything. You know,
so anyway, it is in a way, either he does understand, in which case he's the devil.
No, he doesn't know. He doesn't know.
That's the thing. I don't think he does know.
They don't know.
And that's scary, as you say. Speechwriters, advisors.
That's the word. He really is scary.
I mean, yeah. To think that you don't get it, that is the world's simplest.
If you say that, somebody in the audience is going to say, well, what if we did? And then they're going to do the math backwards, and they're going to do the sixth grade math back, 35 years, and no, apparently not. Nobody did it. Except us here on the Jimmy Dolan show.
We are exposing the emperor with no clothes, but I mean, I would be hesitant to be the person in the audience who said, but what if we did? Yeah, exactly, right. Hustle his ass out of here. Tase him.
Whoa, is that a question coming from the audience? Go ahead and ask you a question. No, go ahead and ask you. See if you can get it out there.
So anyway, that's good. And so speaking of things that, should we talk a little bit about the environment? Can we move on to the environment?
Sure, knock yourself out.
Okay. The environment, there's a lot of stuff in the environment. Have you noticed that they don't want to annoy the polar bears?
Oh, the polar bears got their status, didn't they?
Yes, they got their status.
Watch out for the litigation. They got endangered species status, I believe.
Was it threatened or endangered or warned or not turning white anymore?
Merely molested
merely
status.
Sort of, yeah. Anyway, but I did notice that the Anwar people wanted to go up there and do a little exploring, and they said, well, they might annoy up to 2,000 bears. Well, it's what's, I'm thinking, what, annoy them? How do you annoy a 2,000-pound carnivorous beast?
You put like a...
They welcome the guests.
Yeah. I mean, give me a break, folks.
There was a polar bear that was killed in Iceland. I just caught a snippet of that. Obviously, of course, didn't do any research on this or anything.
And you're calling in?
But I think there was one surviving polar bear or something in Iceland, and one of the chief of police, put it down. in the name of the protecting somebody, and then realized it was the last of the species.
Oops.
We'll put a link to it.
God, I love it. Even when he phones in from who knows where. But I noticed that also that the floods in China are endangering the pandas, another bear.
Oh.
So they're all panicking about. This again brings up the thing. It's not nice to fool Mother Nature. I mean, you can sit there and put all the pandas in panda heaven or whatever it is, or earthly version of, and Mother Nature will still smite them, will still slay them if she wants to.
Hey, pandas come and go, man.
Yeah, I mean, they're not that, there's only 2,500 of them left anyway. And of course, they're talking about molesting 2,000 polar bears out of the 26,000 or something. They don't have a clue, of course, really how many there are.
Make some polar bear soup.
Hey, there you go. That's right. Paw soup.
They make a nice blanket.
Blanket. Oh, heck yeah. Nice blanket.
For sure. Yeah. Well, you mostly want to take the guts out before you do that.
Well, yeah, sometimes.
And so, okay.
Hey, EJ sent us a great article about New York City.
Oh, my God. No, and what you have to do, hey, we're going to put a link to this website.
there you go, Jimmy.
This one really, get in on it, Jimmy, get in on it.
I'm getting in on this.
No, look, this, seriously, EJ sent us this thing, and we've talked about this in other cities so far, and this is the trans fats ban, okay? Turns out the city of New York has now enacted a trans fat ban to go into effect like next month, July or August or something, right?
Yeah. I mean, what happened was they started it. It was a two-phaser. In other words, they phased it in. Basically, what they did was there was an initial trans fat for, like, McDonald's and the fast food.
First, we have the phase of the Jews. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, no, really. What they did is they said if you cook the food, you have to take all the oils out. That now it's for the prepared foods. Like,
right.
Everything except for...
Well, what this article could also be titled is Manufactured Foods Wins. Because what they've done is they've said if the food's already pre-wrapped and packaged, then it's exempt.
Right.
And also, I noticed if you read through the website, if you're licensed to make this stuff by New York State and not New York City, then you can still sell the trans fat made food.
Huh.
So basically, as we've said before, the government has picked some winners in the situation.
Right.
They've picked the manufactured foods and the state licensed people as being the only ones who will be able to carry these types of, quote, harmful foods, you know, the artificial trans fat containing right. foods, 0.5 grams per serving or less is what the statute
well,
mandates.
Well, what EJ sent us, of course, was the vending machine manufacturers, because there's apparently a rule that says you have to have a certain percentage in the vending machine of healthy foods. And it turns out that those are not getting, those are like, you know, crawling with cockroaches and mold because nobody's buying them. And so what they're done, what the vending machine people have done apparently is on the non-trans fat or whatever it is, and they what they'll do is they put in like one, and then they put in like little plastic cardboard facsimiles in the rest of the slot. And so because they know they're not going to sell any of them.
Right, right. I mean, this one's out.
I mean, well, what I'm saying is the market is, you know, they're losing about 20% of their revenue.
And then they get to sell a Hershey bar for like $5 because if you need to get your trans fats,
yeah.
you got to get it out of the vending
machine. Well, I mean, it's just hysterical to the control freaks. I mean, you talk about anal people. Well, talk about anal.
This is really funny, guys. If you go to this link, if we put this link up there.
All right, Curtis, getting in on it.
And you go to I said it.
The link is infectious.
If you go to this website, first of all, there's two things you can do. You can download the PDF on how to become compliant, okay? And it's like a six-page document on how to become compliant. And, I mean, it has everything in there. They literally have lists of foods. Again, the government selected these winners, lists of food that contain less than X amount of this product, so that these products are now safe. These are approved.
Safe, I love it.
Approved
yeah.
products.
Safe.
This is the list of approved products. I've been saying for a while, they're going to come out with, before too long, list of foods you're allowed to buy, and and these will be the winners. And then, not only that, but they have even classes you can take. Compliance classes. Learn how to cook without trans fat oils. They're gonna usher these New York City chefs in there and teach them how to cook.
Are the classes mandatory yet?
Not yet. You know, Jimmy, I thought the same thing. I was like, you know, when the classes are $1,000 and they're mandatory.
They will be. Right. It'll be like a DUI.
Any day now.
Yeah. No, it'll be like a DUI. If they catch you with a trans fat
right.
in your restaurant, the part of the fine will be
your rehabilitation trans fat
right,
cooking
yeah,
classes.
It'd be like the damn Pol Pot regime where they
no,
said the re-education camp.
No, totally, man. Give me my little red cookbook.
Oh, my God.
And,
up against the wall.
I mean, just amazing, man. Amazing.
Well, on that website, though, what you need to do just for last, Jimmy scrolled down. Did you know this was that the health department has released a New York City condom wrapper? Do you know that there are? Did you know that there are official? Wait a minute now. Stop the band roll. You know, drums, horns. The health department releases a new York City condom wrapper. If you look at the wrapper itself, I have a picture of it here. It says, get some.
Yeah!
Get some. NYC. And then in rainbow letters, it has condom.
In rainbow letters.
Staying safe in New York City just got even sexier. The health department unveiled a brand new look for New York City condom and launched a cutting edge media campaign to encourage New Yorkers to, quote, get some. The New York City condom's new look includes a fresh package design and an elegant new dispenser, which will debut in 200 New York City venues. This is what your taxpayer dollars go for in New York City. I mean, if you look, I'm sitting there, get some. Okay, if we have a listener in New York City, we will swap out a Jimmy Doan mug if you'll make sure you send us
a get some.
I'm looking at the subway ads right now. It's like a ghetto looking gangster dude and some chick here. And she's got this giant, she's got her mouth, she's got a big old smile on her face. He's got this look like, yeah, I'm going to get some. And,
yeah.
And that's what it says, man. This is PDF formats. They got, here, I'm going to look at the Harlem subway ad.
My God. It's just, I mean, where these people don't go in your life? I mean, where don't they go? It's everywhere. I love it. Okay. Well, that is great, great stuff. Okay. I'm done with that. Trans fat.
Man, okay. This one's got two dudes on it.
Whoa. Oh, well, of course, that's California. Now, you know, it's legal in California, right? Everybody's, all gay people are getting married like crazy. There's panic in the streets.
Yeah, yeah.
Panic in the streets.
Yeah, so. Sulu got married.
Sulu. Boy, I tell you, doesn't that?
That's pretty
cool. Hey, It wasn't Kirk.
No, it wasn't. And I got to give Kirk credit. At least, you know, let me put it this way. If Kirk comes out gay, it'll be like when Rock Hudson did.
Exactly.
Because, you know, if you see him on Boston Legal, I mean, he is the rakiest, randiest guy you'll ever want to meet. I mean, he is after anything. Yeah, I'll do anything in a skirt. You see that little clip?
In fact, I wouldn't be above dropping out of the floor with you right here, right now.
Yeah, right now. Turn off the lights.
That was the, I will definitely post that. It's Captain Kirk for president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I literally say Hillary and he just farts.
Yeah, pull my finger. Pull my finger. Or McCain.
Yeah.
Oh my God. No,
it's official. Eric got in on the links too. So.
Yeah. No, you're not alone.
At least four links from today's show.
You're not alone anymore. Okay. Next, the next environmental thing might be the oil drilling off of the Florida coast. I see where Charlie Crist, McCain announced like yesterday, or the day before, that he was for let's go ahead and start drilling off the coast.
Well, aren't the Chinese already doing it?
Yeah. They're down there. They're
someone else too, right?
Yeah.
Saudis.
The Chinese are
the Cubans, maybe.
The Chinese are going to take over the Cuban something or another 90 miles off our shores and drill like crazy.
Okay.
But anyway, that was up until like 24 hours ago. Charlie Crist was saying, no mas, never, whatever it is. What's never in
nunca.
Nunca.
But on the 25th hour, what did he say, Jimmy?
Well, what happened was it turns out that he is being, McCain came out like yesterday and said, let's drill. And drilling is not on the table. And of course, since Charlie
still
is
talking about
Charlie
the
is on the short list of being a VP.
Oh, yeah. He is?
Yeah.
Ah.
So guess what? 180, swing around, whoa, spin, I'm for it too. You know. So anyway, and you know, he had to do a little dance, a little explanation, because literally in 24 hours, he was from against it to for it.
A little dance.
Yeah, that's it. Boy, so anyway, of course, as we said, I mean, when you look at the specs, it's kind of like the global warming thing in a way. When you look at the specs, you know, like 4 drops of oil in 30 years, and they've got like 1,000 platforms out there, and no beach has ever been despoiled, in spite of the fact that we've had Katrina and all the other hurricanes come through, and yada, yada, yada. Nobody, and you're thinking, shut up. You know, they know this, some of these platforms are 30 years old. I'm thinking, they know better today how to do this stuff, to cap the oil, whatever it is, and they can still pull it out. And then you see the letters to the editor. There's some guy wrote in today in the Gainesville Sun. He said, now the Arabs have got us just where we want us, where they want us. When we start drilling, in order to the price of the oil and gasoline will stay the same because all the oil and gas we take from our shoreline, from Anwar, from the Gulf, and from off the beaches and whatever, the Saudis will just reduce their output and keep the price up. And I'm thinking, no, they need the money.
Right.
And, you know, that you think about it for a second. If you think for 2 seconds that they're going to chop the, you know, let me put it this way. The simple fact would be if the if we started supplying, you know, another 20% of our own oil needs, the price may drop. And I'll tell you the reason it would drop is because all economics is on the margin, of course. Would be that the Saudis, in order to make up for because they need the money, they're broke. I mean, it's hard to believe that Dubai isn't, but everybody else is broke, and in spite of the fact they got all the money in the world, and they in order to make up those lost revenues, believe me, they would ramp up, and there would be a glut. If you want to really bring down the gasoline prices in the United States, if that was your goal, you just allow drilling off the shore here in the Gulf, and I'll tell you, if you increase the supplies. United States type supplies by 2 or 3 or 5%. I personally guarantee you, as much as I'm guaranteeing that Hillary's going to win, that the price of gas would go down by $1 almost overnight. And what's interesting is Dick Durbin.
So you're for it. No question.
Oh, no question. And what I love, of course, is Dick Durbin. What did he came out and he said, wait a minute now.
Sounds like a porn star.
And now, Dick Durbin from Illinois, they want to rein in the oil speculators. Apparently there's oil speculators in other countries that affect somewhat the price. I mean, I don't know if they don't affect the price. Actually, the only person, one of the things, again, this shows the abysmal lack of economic knowledge. Here's a guy who's a very powerful person in the Senate of the United States, one of 100 people, very, very important person, what he wants to do is he wants to, quote, rein in the speculators because he thinks that speculators are the people that are driving up the price of oil because they're bidding, quote, bidding up the price. What
Amazing.
I'm not going to go into the math on this, but the simple fact is the price of a product is always determined by the actual buyer, not by any speculator. I'm sorry, it just isn't. The speculators, they don't have any money. I mean, until you actually buy the product, that's where the exchange takes place. You can bid, you can say, I will bid $5,000 for that barrel of oil, but until you actually pony up the money, that is not the price. That is not the price. And he thinks it is. And what he doesn't understand is that speculators, far from being a threat, they are the only reason. Speculators, we should get down on our hands and knees. And
yeah, they're a buffer.
They are better than a buffer. They are the reason. They are the ones that actually even out the prices. They make sure that the prices don't skyrocket during times of shortage and then fall to nothing during times of plenty, because they bet the speculator is the person by definition who bets the other way. So he absolutely evens out these price rises and falls. I mean, it's stunning to think that anybody doesn't realize that without speculators, let me tell you something. If you think that oil at $4 or whatever it is, or wheat or grain or anything else has a high or low price, you ain't seen nothing. Without speculators, in a times of plenty, corn would be, you would have to pay, people would, farmers have to pay people to take it away. It would be so cheap. And on the other side of the coin, in times of shortage, it would be $1 million a bushel.
Yeah, I mean, speculators
even it out. I'm telling you, it is a hedge bet. This is economics. Unfortunately, I don't think it's 101. I think it's 201, but it's there and it's mathematically, it's as certain as the Pythagorean theorem. There is no doubt about it. And to have this guy, Dick Durbin, very important guy in the United States Senate, say otherwise, it's just scary. It's frightening to think that he's so stupid that he would actually think that, and not only that, the speculators that he wants to control are in other countries. They're in other sovereign countries. You know, some French guy is speculating on Algerian oil, and he wants to put the United States Senate in the middle of it. I'm thinking,
needs to go make a porn movie. He missed his calling.
Yeah, Dick Durbin, boy, I'll tell you. Yeah, Dick Turbin.
Dick Turbin.
He's the man from
Taliban porn man.
Dick Durbin.
<That's
right. laughs> So anyway, that is my rant on the we could affect that tomorrow. Okay, next.
Jack, you got anything off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head.
Or no. I mean, through your thorough research.
Okay, well,
I got something else. I got
how about Tiger wins?
Tiger.
What did he win?
Not really a
win
story.
Win some golf game or something.
He won a golf game. That's right. He won a golf game. No, he. I just thought it was interesting that the guy who tied him, he almost lost it. He tied the game up on Sunday.
Rocco Mediate.
Yeah, Rocco Mediate, who's like a 45-year-old guy with a bad back or whatever, never won a major tournament, whatever. I mean, talk about a guy who was like so out of his league, you can't imagine. He was like,
he's a solid player. Never won.
But he's like number 276 in the world or something. And here he is. He is alone with Tiger Wood for an 18-hole playoff.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't sudden death. It was 18 holes. Wow.
At the end
of 18 holes.
Tiger got it to the 18-hole playoff with an eagle on the 18th.
Yeah.
Right. And that was, I'm sorry, say that again?
Tiger tied it up to force the 18-hole playoff with an eagle on the 18th.
No, with a birdie.
Oh, eagle.
It was a birdie. It was a birdie putt. I'm telling you, it was a birdie. Okay. It doesn't matter. He tied it up. They were like one under or something like that. The two of them. So here's this guy who is like a schlub. I mean, he's a solid player and all that stuff, but you look at the difference. Tiger, Studley, do right. You cannot imagine. And here's this guy who's, you know, he's from like England or someplace. Pale England guy. I don't know if he's
pale England.
No, I mean, seriously.
And chips, all that stuff.
Yeah, right. I mean,
he's
it looks like
he's
has
Spanish, Spanish or
whatever
something.
It is. You know, teeth, whatever, the whole deal. So, so now he has to play 18 holes on Monday. He has all night to think about the fact that he's going to play the number one player in the world. He still ties him.
Jeez.
He still ties him.
Wow.
So then they go to sudden death, and he loses it totally. I mean, I don't know. He was like,
yeah, it was bunker.
He like quadruple bogey or something.
Right.
I mean, he hit it like on another golf course or something. I don't know what it was.
Into the stand.
But anyway, the point is, how can you not? I can't imagine he made it through the 18 holes myself. That didn't just wilt after hole number one.
Yeah, no.
And here's a guy. So here's a guy who's, you know, Tiger's got a bad knee. This guy's got a bad back. He's 45 years old or something like that. This guy wasn't he 45?
Yeah. And oldest would have been the oldest player to win.
Oldest player. I mean, and I'm thinking, what a unbelievable time. I mean, just, you know, and of course the thing about it was I looked at was when Tiger did his eagle putter, birdie putter, whatever it is, on Sunday to tie it up so that there would be a playoff. You know, that putt was probably worth $500,000.
Well, it was a chip.
Was it a chip?
That's the one you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about it was a 12-foot putt.
Oh, yes, exactly. Okay.
It was a 12-foot putt over.
Yeah, beautiful.
It was a gorgeous. And of course, he jumped up like he'd been shocked with a taser. Tiger was so happy with him because he wasn't expected to make it. I mean, it was a tricky putt.
I don't know that he wasn't expected to make it because he is Tiger Woods.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, let me put it this way. If you saw his response, he didn't expect to make it. I'm telling you, it wasn't like he shuffled his feet and said, "Oh shucks." He jumped up in the air like a clown and went and did the double pump in the air, the whole nine yards. I mean, this was a guy who just shit bricks that he made this thing.
Rocco's an American born in Greensburg, Pennsylvania.
Exactly.
He's the son of a barber, has an Italian background.
You know,
I thought he was British. I thought he was from England.
Huh? Somewhere over there. Overseas.
Yeah.
I was running with it.
Yeah. No, so anyway, but I mean, I thought to myself, how do you, you know, I can't imagine the
He's
pressure.
From Florida. Or Florida Southern College is where he went to college.
Well, no wonder.
Hey.
Whatever that means. Anyway, I thought it was I'm not much of a sports fan watcher on TV or whatever, but I did watch, I had to watch that. And I watched a little bit of the 18. I didn't realize that, you know, most of these tournaments, they have sudden death right away.
Yeah.
And, you know, like 10 minutes later, you go out into hole
number. This was a big one, though.
But this is a big one. They had an 18-hole playoff. See, I think it's the only one where if there's a tie, there's a complete 18-hole playoff.
You know, that's correct. It's the U.S. Open.
Right. And so, I mean, you got to believe that the pressure is some kind. I mean, here, number
nah,
one. And you're
shut
alone.
It up.
I mean, you are alone on the.
Suck it
it's
up.
It's not like. Yeah, suck it up. Right. Yeah, okay, good. I just think, to me, it just says a lot about that guy. It seems to me he's a pretty strong fellow. Okay.
Alan, of course, the pressure is on because of the paycheck.
Well, you know, he's still.
Hey, with a name like Rocco.
Yeah, but the fact is, I haven't looked in the paper, but what is number two, certainly? I mean, Winner probably got $1.5 million. He still probably got at least $500,000, $750,000, because he was number two. Whereas he would have been if Tiger. Let me put it this way: if Tiger had not made that hole, the final putt that he did on Sunday, he would have been tied for two. So they would have split two and three money, and he would have gotten the same as the number three guy. Which, as I say, that putt was probably worth $500,000 to put him in the position to be alone in number two. Okay.
Tiger doesn't need the money, but.
No, he doesn't. But this guy, you know, I mean, they were talking to him. He said that one time, I think his first win, he got a $30,000 check. And as far as he was concerned, he was in the money. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Woohoo.
Yeah. So this must be a big deal. I mean, he's still going to be a hero. That's for sure.
We're going to probably take a break.
Okay. Let's take a break.
Okay.
Okay.
Need company, I call on you to see about me. I want to walk about and talk about, tell all the world about you.
Tell the world about you.
When you're with me, there's so much fun. You're all the good things are wrapped in one. I want to walk about and talk about, tell all the world about you.
Tell the world about you.
Whoa, I want to walk.
Talk about.
I want to talk.
Talk about
I want to tell
the world.
talk about. Tell all the world about. Tell all the world about. Oh, tell the world about you.
Tell the world about you.
It's Engineer Eric. That was part one of our June 17th podcast. If you need part two, go to jimmydone.com, iTunes, or your favorite podcast directory. Thanks for listening to the show.